Luis is going to come and read the Bible for us, which is Romans chapter 6-7, verses 1 to 6. Thank you.
Good morning, church. So Romans 7:1-6. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code.
Well, good morning, folks. If we haven't met before, my name is John Joe Burns. I'm the associate pastor here, and it's my pleasure to help us look at God's word together now. Before we dive in, why don't you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you've revealed yourself to us through your word, the Bible. We pray that as we engage with it now, that you would be opening our eyes to see and opening our ears to hear what you have to say to us. That you would be opening our minds to understand, and that you would be opening our hearts to feel the truths it contains. Be with us in this time, we pray. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin this morning by pulling back the curtain on what it's like to be a preacher, to expose some of the behind the scenes of preacher life. In particular, there's one thing I'd like to share with you today about what it's like to be a preacher. Now, I've only been preaching for a little while, and I've experienced this, so I'm sure that someone who's been preaching for a bit longer, such as Delan, has also experienced this. And it's not just here at our church that this happens. I've had my preaching lecturers at college retell similar incidents happening to them. So what is this thing that I'm talking about? Well, I'm talking about when somebody comes up to the preacher after a service and they say something like, "Oh, preacher, oh, that was such a wonderful message today. Oh, I really heard what you were saying and it touched my life. The Lord spoke to me and I feel like my life has changed. I will change." That's what they say, but then nothing changes. They continue to live their life exactly the same way as they did before they had this life-changing experience. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you should never compliment a pastor or a preacher after a sermon. That's still very welcome. But what I'm saying is that sometimes people claim to have life-changing experiences, but then don't change. And I'm sure this isn't just the experience of preachers. I'm sure there are many medical professionals out there who, after breaking bad news to a patient, have heard them say something like, "Oh, I'll stop smoking. Oh, I'll do more exercise. Oh, I'll eat better," only for that person to not change. And maybe you can think of your own examples, times when people have said they've had a life-changing experience, but then don't change. In our passage today, we're looking at change. Indeed, in this section of the Bible that we've been looking at over the last few weeks, we've been continually presented with this idea of change. To remind ourselves of where we are, let's have a brief recap. We're currently looking at Romans, which is a letter sent from a man called Paul to some Christians in ancient Rome, the capital city of Italy. It was sent in the first century, so over 2,000 years ago. And in the letter, Paul covers a number of different topics about how these Christians are to live, both individually and together as a church. In the section of the letter that we've been looking at, the focus has been on whose team we're on. Are we on Team Adam? That's the side with death and with laws and with sin. Sin is our selfish rejection of God. Are we on Team Adam, or are we on Team Jesus? That's the side with life and with forgiveness and with a renewed relationship with God. Back in chapter 5, these two teams were outlined, and Paul explains how everybody, by default, is on Team Adam. But everyone is invited to join Team Jesus. They're invited to change teams. He writes from there that changing teams changes us. Changing teams changes us. So in chapter 6 that we looked at last week, Paul speaks about how after we join Team Jesus, we are free from death and from the punishment that comes from rejecting God, and we now have a renewed relationship with God. Our status before God has changed from death to life. And here in chapter 7 that we're looking at this morning, Paul goes on to talk about another change. He writes about how changing teams changes our behavior. Changing teams changes our behavior. He goes about this in two parts. So let's look at each. Firstly, he reinforces our status. He reinforces our status. What does he say about our status? Well, we're going to read verses 1 to 3 again, and I want you to see if you can figure it out. So, here's verses 1 to 3. We'll read them together and see if you can work out what Paul is saying about our status. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. How did you go? Did you work out what Paul was saying about our status? Well, he introduces his idea in verse 1, where he says that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. Okay, keep that idea in mind. Then verses 2 and 3 are just an example to show that. If a married woman sleeps with someone else while her husband is alive, then she's cheating on him. But if he's dead, then she's not. So, the law has authority over someone only as long as a person is alive. Now, how is this relevant to us? How does this say anything about our status? Well, can you remember what Paul said back in chapter 6? I mean, he said quite a few things, but one of the things he said comes in chapter 6, verse 3, where he says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Ah, he says that we share in Jesus' death. Jesus has died, and if we truly believe in him and put our faith in him, then we share in that death. Okay, so the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives, but we who believe in Jesus share in his death. Therefore, from the law's point of view, we are dead. We are dead to the law. And so, the law has no authority over us anymore. That's the flow of logic. And this is what Paul is saying about our status. We are released from the law. We are released from the law. Paul himself goes on to say as much in verse 4. Look at it with me. "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead." Paul says that through the body of Christ, through Jesus' body that died on the cross, we have died to the law. And now we belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, to Jesus. So here again, Paul is saying that we've switched teams. And he's reminding us that when we switched teams, our status changed. On our new team, Team Jesus, we are now released from the law. Now, I've been saying the phrase the law a lot, but what is the law? Is Paul saying here that by joining Team Jesus, Christians don't have to follow any laws? If we get pulled over for speeding, we can say, oh yes, officer, I saw the speed limit, but I'm a Christian, so I don't have to follow your laws. I think we'd all agree. The answer to that is no. Christians aren't free from all laws. So what is the law that we're released from? Well, when Paul says the law here, he's speaking about the religious law that we read about in the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament. And as with many laws, well, this law was given so that people would know that they were okay with God. That was the purpose of the law. But as with many laws, it introduced a lot more complexity to people's lives. Now, suddenly there were specific rules on what a person could eat and couldn't eat, or specific rules on when they could go and worship God and when they couldn't go and worship God, and what they had to do when they went to worship God, all sorts of different things. Everybody was under the authority of that law, and that's the law that we've been released from. As Paul says, because we share in Jesus' death, we have died to the law, so it no longer has authority over us. So the question I have for you at this point is, have you been released from the law? Have you been released from the law? Have you been set free from needing to follow a specific, onerous, burdensome set of rules in order to be okay with God? Because that is part of the message of this passage. It's saying we no longer have to meticulously follow a set of things to do, ticking them off one by one in order to be okay with God. Instead, we can be set free. We can be released because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Have you been released from the law? Back when I used to work in IT, I worked for one company where we used to sell ID cards. You know, cards with your photo on to prove who you are. Well, we sold ID cards for ports, for shipping terminals, you know, where the big container ships come in. And because ports are an entry point into the country, everything to do with them is strictly regulated and restricted, including the ID cards. And so we, at this company, had a law that outlined every little detail about these ID cards. So it outlined who could apply, how they could apply, where they could apply, what sort of background checks we had to do on them, how we had to design the cards and print the cards and store the cards and ship the cards, what happened if a card was lost or stolen or expired, how we had to destroy the cards. Every little detail to do with these cards was outlined in that law. And that law was such a burden for the team that was working to make these cards. That law was a burden. And if we try and follow rules, a law, in order to be okay with God, we'll find that to be a burden too. So, have you been released from the law? Released from the burden of trying to make yourself okay with God by living in a certain way or doing certain things. For some of you, coming here on a Sunday might be your law. You might think, oh, well, if I go to church on Sunday, I'll be okay with God. Or maybe that's how you treat prayer. Oh, as long as I say a little prayer to God every day, then we'll be okay. Or maybe that's how you treat giving. As long as I give some money to the church, God will be happy with me. I'm sorry to break it to you, but all of those things and anything else like it in your life is a law. It's a law that's burdening you. It's a law that's probably doing more harm than good to your relationship with God. And it's a law that's unnecessary. Not that those things I mentioned are unnecessary, but that you don't need to do them in order to be okay with God. We have been released from the law through the body of Christ. So believe in Jesus and be released. If you have been released, I have another question for you. Do you feel released? Do you feel released? Or do you still feel burdened? I'm sure you all know what it's like to be released from something. Maybe you've had to keep a secret. You knew someone was pregnant or was planning to propose to their partner, but it was all hush-hush and you couldn't tell anyone until everybody knew and you were released. You could speak, you could tell others. Or perhaps, and this one might be a little personal for all of us, you know what it's like to be released from lockdown. Oh, you can only leave your house for non-essential reasons. You're trapped in your LGA until the restrictions are lifted and you're released. Oh, the feeling of freedom when you can go more than 5 kilometers from your home. Christian, when you think of your relationship with God, you should feel released, not burdened or trapped. Christianity is not strict rule following as some people seem to think it is. Christianity is freedom. It's release from the law through the body of Christ. So, Christian, do you feel released? Because you are released. That is our status. Released from the law. So that's the first thing Paul does, is to reinforce our status. The second thing he does is to describe the result of our status. The result of our status. What's the result of our status? Well, let's read verse 4 again in full. Read it with me. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. As a result of our status, because we are released from the law, we are to bear fruit for God. Bear fruit for God. Now, what does that mean, to bear fruit? Well, it doesn't mean fruit for a bear. No, not that kind of bear fruit. Had to put one dad joke in. When we speak about bearing fruit, we're speaking about our behavior. As one person put it, bearing fruit is the outward actions that result from the inward condition of a person's heart. The outward actions that result from the inward condition of a person's heart. Basically, it's what we do because of how our heart is. And like we've said already, Paul here is writing that changing teams changes our behavior. And he describes that change in behavior as a change in fruit. You see, everybody bears fruit for something. Paul tells us how by default, everyone is producing fruit for death. Look at verse 5 with me. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death. But now, as we've already seen in verse 4, we are to bear fruit for God instead. Our behavior, our fruit changes because we've changed teams. What do these fruit look like? Well, Paul hasn't described them here, but he does describe them in another letter he writes to the church in Galatia. In that letter, here's how he describes the fruit that we bear for death. He writes, "Now the works of the flesh," that's the fruit we bear for death, "are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. Oh, that doesn't sound like nice fruit at all. And we can see as we read that list how these things come from the state of a person's heart. These sorts of things come from a person whose heart is still trapped by sin and by the law. In comparison, the fruit for God, or what Paul calls the fruit of God's Spirit, is much different. Here's what he says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, what a different kind of fruit that is. That sounds much better. That sounds like fruit that comes from a heart that is free from sin and is released from the law. And so my question to you here is, what kind of fruit are you bearing? What kind of fruit are you bearing? Now, I bet you knew this question was coming, right? Because this is the standard sort of question that comes from one of these sorts of passages. But we have to think carefully about this question, otherwise we might get things mixed up in our minds. I'm not saying that you must bear certain fruit, do these certain things in order to be okay with God. Now, if I were saying that, I'd just be creating a new law. And remember, we are released from the law. Instead, what I'm trying to say is, you have been saved, you have been released from the law through the body of Christ, therefore stop producing fruit for death and produce fruit for God instead. We bear fruit as a result of our status, not to earn our status. You have been released from the law that produced jealousy in you. And so now you can have peace when others do better than you. And you can have joy in celebrating with them when they do well. You have been released from the law that produced selfish ambition in you. And so now you can be patient and gentle with others when it comes time for promotions or bonuses at work. You have been released from the law that produced outbursts of anger in you. And so now you can have love and self-control when your family starts to annoy you or when your boss is just being a jerk. Because we are released from the law, we can bear fruit for God rather than for death. So, what kind of fruit are you bearing? And what does it say about your heart, about how you understand your relationship with God? What does it say about which team you're on? What kind of fruit are you bearing? If you're a Christian, I'd like to invite you to join me in focusing on one fruit for God this week. Have a look. Here's the list of the fruit of God again, the fruit of God's Spirit. And pick one that you would like to have in your mind, at the front of your mind, this week. You don't have to pick it because you think you have a particular problem with it. You can just pick it because you want more of it in your life. I'm choosing peace. I've been feeling a little stressed and quick to get irritated this past week at times, so I want to focus more on God's peace and have more of that in my life this coming week. That's what I'm picking. You pick one as well from that list. And then this week, I invite you to pray, to speak to God every day, just for a little while, and do two things. Firstly, thank God for releasing you from the law through the body of Christ so that you can have this fruit. You might want to say to God in your prayer, thank you, God, for releasing me from the law through the body of Christ so that I can have more peace, or whatever fruit you've chosen. That's the first thing. Then secondly, ask God for more of whatever fruit you've chosen. Ask God for more of whatever fruit you've chosen. So you might say, I pray I can have more peace in my life. That's it. Those are the two things. You might want to take a photo or a screenshot of that so you remember. But that's what I like all of us who say that we're on Team Jesus to do this week. Pick a fruit, thank God that we can bear that fruit, and then ask for more of it in your life. As you do that, keep in mind that when you ask God for more of something like one of these fruits, he often gives you more opportunities to experience that thing rather than just magically giving it to you. So, for example, when I ask God for more peace, it's not as if my life suddenly becomes peaceful. Everything is wonderful. That's not how it works. Instead, God may just put me in more situations where I have the ability to choose peace. So it's up to me, it's up to us, to look out for the opportunities that God gives us to bear fruit for him. And as we do this too, let's help one another out here. Over morning tea, you might like to ask people what fruit they chose. You don't have to say why you chose a certain fruit. You can just say, oh, I picked kindness. How about you? And then, during the week, as you're praying for more fruit in your own life, why not also pray that everybody else has more fruit in their life too? Ask God that everyone bears fruit for him. It won't take you too long to add that into your prayer. And then, if you have a really good memory, you can ask people how they went next week. You can ask me, you can ask others. Not asking in a judgmental, now how did you go kind of way, like it's homework. It's not homework, but asking in love. Because we want one another to feel released from the law, and we want one another to bear fruit for God. So, let's ask one another how we're going, and help one another wherever we can, so that together we can all be fully on Team Jesus and live our lives bringing glory to him. When we change teams, many things change. For those of us who are now on Team Jesus, our status and our behavior has changed. We are released from the law, so feel released. Feel free. Feel free and bear fruit for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you have released us from the law through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that this means we can bear fruit for you. We pray that this week we would rejoice in our freedom and we would seek to bear fruit for you in as many ways as we can. Not so that you will save us, but because you have saved us. And for those of us here this morning who haven't yet experienced that freedom, we pray that your Spirit would be moving in them. Help them see the fruit they're currently bearing for death. Give them a longing for a different team, a different fruit, and help them to take that step to change teams and trust in you. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.